Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, great to have you with us on this Monday, brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, whatever your insurance need may be, it's Purdy Insurance, and they will do everything they can to save you money. They'll take good care of the policies, update them, that way you are always insured to the proper amount. That's what great customer service is all about. That is the definition of Purdy Insurance. The best in the business. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And we are in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory. Great pre-owned inventory. All with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. Your trade-in's never been worth more. Sales staff would work with you on that. And, of course, a fabulous service department. It's really one-stop vehicle shopping for the life of the vehicle, any vehicle you have. Inspections, routine, difficult. They handle it all. It's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Basketball tonight, Nittany Lions, Iowa. Coaches versus cancer game at the Jordan Center. At 7 this evening, $5 from every ticket, by the way, goes to CVC. First home game in 20 days for the Nittany Lions. Speaking of Penn State and Iowa, was that a wow on Friday night? Penn State putting together an outstanding performance. 19-13, they won it. 2022 wrestling beats 1986 wrestling. Iowa still wrestles like it's the 80s. And Penn State can wrestle their style, and they can also wrestle their own style. See, that's when you know you're good. You can wrestle the way they want to and beat them, and you can wrestle the way you want to and beat them. That's how you do it. All right, very quickly on yesterday, we'll get into more of this in a moment. The Bengals-Chiefs game. You, as a coach, ache to get a situation where you have two for none, where you close out the first half with the ball and a chance to score, and then you get the kickoff to start the second half. Those 8 minutes are pivotal if you can get that in a game. The Chiefs had that on a silver platter and ended up with no points. We know what happened at the end of the first half. They completely misgauged everything. I mean, look, 5 seconds, you can make a play. And that'd be a quarterback you'd trust to make a play. And then he makes that pass out to Hill, right, where he's got to fight to get in the end zone, where now it's only get a touchdown or nothing, and they ended up with nothing. And then they went, what, three and out to start the second half? You ache to get that situation. And the Chiefs ended up with zero. And that put the Bengals back in the game. The Chiefs had two golden opportunities to put it away, and even a field goal would have put it away. They get the field goal. That field goal at the end, they kick. That wins the game. You don't chase points. And I'm not saying they kick with 5 seconds to go. It's just Mahomes has to make the right decision to get the ball in the end zone. If it's incomplete, it's incomplete. Kick. And as for the 49ers, it's pretty obvious that's Jimmy Garoppolo's last game with them. When they needed it, couldn't get it. And now you got the Rams and the Bengals in the Super Bowl. Steeler fans, all those years you called them the Bungles, here's your big problem. They've got the better quarterback now. All right, we'll come back, talk with Chris Mack about the former Steelers quarterback in a moment. As we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, whatever it may be. You go to Purdy Insurance. They'll take good care of you. They'll save you money wherever they can, and make sure you're fully insured. It's Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. All right, joining us now in the Sunbury Motor Studio, let's go to Pittsburgh, Chris Mack. Joe Burrow is leading the Bengals into the Super Bowl, and Ben Roethlisberger is leading his family into retirement. Chris, welcome. Great to have you with us.
Good to be with you, Steve.
So let's get to Ben Roethlisberger. I know I brought this up last week, but let's just revisit because the relevancy, you know, we just talked about the Patriots, relevant for two decades. Mm-hmm. Belichick, Brady, Packers relevant for a couple decades, Favre to Rodgers. And the Steelers was Coward to Tomlin, but also Roethlisberger was the constant during this two-decade run. The reality is he was their best player almost the entire time.
Yeah, and what I think is interesting when we think about parallels, he wanted to emulate John Elway as a kid. John Elway was one of his quarterbacking heroes. It's why he chose number 7. And when I look at it now, you know, Elway, as successful as he was at the end of his career, was always sort of a second, third fiddle to the Montanas and Marinos of the world, even though Marino never won a championship. And Ben, I think, ultimately is going to end up going down. Look, he's a hero to so many Steelers fans, but I think when you look at his career and the entire two-decade arc of it as compared to Brady and Manning, he'll end up going down as sort of a second or third fiddle to those guys. And I think similar to Elway, you'll always wonder, well, what if he had not been a part of that great era of quarterbacks, you know? And I think that's probably a proper perspective to put Roethlisberger in. Is first ballot Hall of Famer, 2-time Super Bowl champ, a very exclusive club in that regard, but certainly it's got to be tough when you're as good as Roethlisberger was, or you're as good even as Manning was, or like I mentioned Elway, but you weren't even the best of your generation, you know? So it's an interesting legacy he'll leave behind, and certainly with everything else going on here in Pittsburgh, given the status of the GM, the status of the possible heir apparents to the GM, and all the other things going on, it'll be interesting to see how they move forward from this.
Yeah, moving forward eventually is going to be the key to all this. But Roethlisberger, did he do a good job of rehabilitating his off-the-field image? Because obviously now with his wife, his children, mm-hmm. you see them around him all the time. Did he eventually rehabilitate his off-field image?
I think as well as you can, given how poor his off-field image was in the first 5 years, 6 years of his career. You know, when you consider, and it wasn't just the sexual assault allegations in Georgia or Nevada, it was just the way he carried himself around Pittsburgh. He was boorish, to put it simply. He was inconvenienced by most people who were around him, who weren't pretty girls. He acted like a 22, 23, 24-year-old kid who had just won 2 Super Bowls and was more or less handed the keys to one of the most storied franchises in North American sports history. And I think he wasn't ready for that. Maybe if he's a guy who had gone to a bigger program in college, who had had more media attention on him in college, who had been a little more polished, he wouldn't have fallen into those traps. Maybe he would have anyway, and that's just his personality and the apparent rehabilitation we've seen over the last 8 to 10 years is just that. It's a perception rather than reality. But I think for the most part, fans have been willing to forgive the way he acted years ago, because it did come to a stop seemingly. And and that was the biggest concern. You know, that story, I'm not sure if you've seen it yet this morning, about that Mike Singletary claims, the Niners were close to acquiring Roethlisberger around the time of his troubles in Georgia. I remember distinctly advocating on the air way back then that they should consider moving on from Roethlisberger mm-hmm. In favor of a younger quarterback. And it sounds like they were very close perhaps to doing that, or at least the 49ers and Mike Singletary believe they were close to pulling the trigger on it way back when. it was at that point. People were ready to be done with him here in Pittsburgh, despite two Super Bowls and all the talent he had. We were ready to be done with him. And the fact that he brought it all the way back around for a lot of those people to, in the final couple years of his career, being willing to more or less hit pause on the organizational development that's going on all around him so they can more or less have a walk-off into the sunset year for him. That's I think, rehabilitation, image rehabilitation enough for most fans.
What turned it around for him? Was it a realization like, hey, man, I got to stop. I'm wearing out my welcome. Or was it getting married?
I think, well, a little bit of both. I think his wife, Ashley, did help settle him down. Obviously, he wasn't going out and partying anymore. Or if he was, it was limited to, you know, going out with the guys on his team. And it wasn't really a party anymore. He did become more of a homebody, at least, again, according to public perception. But I think, you know, that moment when he did question whether he was going to remain with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Mm-hmm. He had to sit out those first four games of the 2010 season. That was like a 2x4 upside the head, I think. And I think that more than anything was the wake up call. Listen, you win two Super Bowls. Like I said, you're flying high. You're a young mm-hmm. guy in your early sure. to mid 20s and the world is in the palm of your hand seemingly. And then you realize that it could all be gone in an instant. And I think that more than anything is what woke him up. And, you know, if it were a different organization that at the time had not had the same sort of father figure in place in Dan Rooney, mm-hmm. I don't know. You know, Mr. Rooney is a guy who so many players in that organization and before him, his father, Art, I'm sure you've talked to Jack about this before in the past.
Sure.
They played for him, you know?
Oh, yeah.
It was to honor the Rooney name as much as it was to honor the Steelers' name. And I think when Ben Roethlisberger realized the dishonor he was bringing to the Rooney name as much as the Steelers' name and his own name, I think that helped wake him up.
Big. Now they have to move forward. They never really did draft a successor. There's no Jordan Love on the roster. Let me think about that for a moment. I didn't like him at Utah State. What kind of speculation is there going to be in the city? And in fact, Kenny Pickett has played the last few years in the city. Does that at least enter into the mindsets of the fan base? I'm not talking about Kevin Colbert, but the fan base.
The fans, yes, certainly. For those fans that are both Pitt Panthers fans and Steelers fans, they love that idea. But they also don't think there's a good chance that Pickett will make it the 20th overall. Now, if the stuff that we've seen in Denver today is any indication, it wouldn't be surprising to see Aaron Rodgers end up with the Broncos now, which would take them off the board for a quarterback, certainly, and might help Pickett slide a little farther. I still don't know if he slides to 20, but maybe Matt Corral slides to 20. And I think those two are probably near the top of the list if the Steelers are keeping an eye on quarterbacks who might fall into their lap at that point. But I don't think they're going to go out of their way to draft a quarterback in the first round. I don't think they'd move up. I think if they're sitting at 20 and the quarterbacks are off the board, they'll take an offensive lineman. If the offensive lineman and the quarterbacks are off the board, they'll just look elsewhere. It's not like they don't have other holes they could fill in the draft. As for quarterback, I'd be pretty surprised if they don't bring in a veteran to challenge, sort of a borderline starting quarterback style veteran to challenge Rudolph and Haskins and just provide a little bit of an insurance policy, you know, whether that's a Trubisky or a Minshew or, I don't know, a Bridgewater type. I don't know. But all those guys apparently are available to be had. I don't know if they go so far as to trade a first round pick for, you know, a Jimmy Garoppolo, certainly, or a Derek Carr. And I don't think they're going to realistically be in the Rodgers sweepstakes. So I think, you know, it'll probably be a veteran stopgap to come along and provide, like I said, a little bit of insurance and also a little bit of a competitive push to Rudolph and Haskins. They'll try and rebuild all the other spots on the roster that need fortifying. And then if they go 7-10 and end up getting themselves a top 15 pick in 23, well, that's when you can look at your, you know, your Bryce Loves and some other possibilities, or Bryce Young, pardon me,
Bryce Young.
And other possibilities going into that draft.
Oh, Okay. Is the Steeler fan base, are they able to accept 7-10?
If they know that there's a payoff, I think they will. If 7-10 were to include, you know, trading for a Jimmy Garoppolo, like I said, or bringing in a more established veteran quarterback rather than a stopgap of sorts, then they would certainly not be satisfied with that. 7-10, I think fans will be able to swallow if they know that there's a payoff on the other end of it. And I think that would be the question. You know, I think a lot of them would be willing to take that step back for just a year, 7-10, 6-11, whatever it may be. Because that's what had to happen the last time to secure a franchise quarterback. They had to go 6-10 in order to get the pick where they were when they drafted Roethlisberger. And I think everyone realizes that your best chance to get a franchise quarterback, it's not exclusive, but your best chance to get a franchise quarterback is top 10, top 12 in the draft.
Well, it's been quite a run for him, quite a run for the Steelers. And now the next step comes up.
Yeah, and that's the thing, Steve. They did, like I said, more or less hit pause on their organizational development for a year in order to honor Roethlisberger with one final season. And whether you believe that was the plan all along, or perhaps they made an offer to Roethlisberger that they thought he would turn down, and he ended up accepting it, and they were stuck between a rock and a hard place, they've not only hit pause on the development of the organization based on, you know, just honoring Roethlisberger for a year, but also at a time when Kevin Colbert, as I mentioned before, may decide to retire after the draft.
Right.
He's apparently seriously considering that. And Brandon Hunt, who would be the heir apparent, may take a job with the Raiders or anybody else who may interview him for a GM position. Omar Khan's been interviewed by the Bears, amongst other teams in the last couple of years. He would be the other guy, their VP of personnel, who might take over Colbert's job. And they might very quickly end up looking around, having no one ready to take Colbert's job, and also Colbert retiring. And I can't imagine it's very easy to conduct a GM search in the middle of June after your roster's already been set.
My friend, thanks so much. Appreciate the time, as always.
Thank you, Steve. Always happy to jump on with you.
Chris Mack in Pittsburgh. Next half hour, Ryan Snyder on 3.com on recruiting. Great to have you with us today. Brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
For nearly 100 years, Purdy Insurance has been your locally owned, family-operated source for insurance products. With a staff of over 20 and partnerships with some of the industry's most trusted companies, Purdy has the experience and resources to get the job done. Whether you need personal, home, and auto, or complex business insurance solutions, Purdy will help you navigate through the process. Call today at 570-286-5855, or better yet, stop in their Sunbury office to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com.
auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, whatever it may be. They'll handle all of it for you. Look, you need insurance more than ever. You really do. You just never know what's going to happen. So you go to the pros, the best in the business. They'll make sure that you're properly covered. They'll get you the absolute best price they can. If it's the type of insurance you can go over state lines to get and get a better price, they'll do it. Because customer service means everything to them. And that includes updating policies so that you're always covered. It is at Purdy Insurance, the pros, the best in the business, Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And we are in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory, all with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. Sales staff that will work with you. They will work with you to get you the best deal possible. And that means your trade has never been worth more. And not only that, but a fabulous service department makes this one vehicle shopping, one-stop shopping. Inspections, great. Routine, great. Fabulous with diagnostics and the difficult, great. All at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. All right, great to have you with us on the show today. Ryan Snyder in a moment. Of course, the Rams won yesterday, had to rally to do it. Aaron Donald didn't do much most of the day, but when they needed the big play, the big star stepped up and made the big play at the end. That was a wow play by Aaron Donald. Thrilled for Grant Haley, thrilled for Nick Scott. They're both going to the Super Bowl. And, of course, the Bengals yesterday rallied to win over Kansas City. And, again, I keep going back to it. It's not just the end of the first half, everybody. That's simple. It's the combination of the end of the first half and the start of the second half. That is a coach's dream, to get the last couple of minutes where you have a chance to score and the next possession to start, you get a two for none. And it turned out in the two for none, the Chiefs ended up with, quote, none. That's where the ball game was swung. It wasn't just the end of the first. It was also the start of the second. And they didn't get anything out of it. Give Joe Burrow and the Bengals a lot of credit, especially defensively in the second half. All right, Penn State, National Letter of Intent Day coming up Wednesday. Had a chance to catch up and talk with Ryan Snyder on 3.com. Sir, it's always great to have you with us.
Good, man. We are in the final home stretch here before National Signing Day, of course. So, been a busy couple weeks, but I can't complain, right? I'm not the one jetting across the country to meet with players, so the staff has it a lot harder than I do, right? I'm just trying to track them.
Yeah.
So it's been good.
We'll get to some players here in a moment. I just want to ask you, as time has gone with this job, let's take the last couple of years. Obviously, each individual communicates in their own way. Some people are very open. Some are more closed-mouthed about it. What have you found the trend to be? Are people more open to talking to you about stuff, or are they a little more guarded as time has gone?
Good question. I would say this.
Well, I try to come up with one once in a while.
You do. You always get me one where it's like right off the bat, it's like, oh, I got to think here for a second. I would say this. As compared, I started this 12 years ago. Compared to then, it's a lot more messaging. You know, I like kids don't want to talk on the phone as much, nearly as much. And of course, a decade ago, we weren't really, there was Facebook, but there wasn't, you know, Twitter and right. Instagram and all those other ways of communicating. So I would say that it's less extensive interviews and more, rapid, quick communication. Here's where I'm visiting, but not really opening up about them. Now, of course, if you're a good journalist, right, you got to just figure out a way to get them to open up, and I try my best with that. But I would definitely – I sound like the old man right now, right? Like the kids that don't want to talk and, you know, all they want to do is text. And there is a lot of truth to that, though. But, you got some kids who are awesome about it, and, you know, they really enjoy opening up, and, some who that's just not them. The one thing I will say, though, is that since NIL has started – I think a lot of players are starting to understand how doing interviews and opening up and, you know, using social media in the correct ways could really benefit them down the road. I was just talking to a player, I don't know, maybe 2 weeks ago about how, like, I mean, basically he brought it up where, you know, does he enjoy doing interviews? No, not really. But he thinks that, you know, getting his name out there more, you know, opening up about things and letting people know, you know, that he's a well-spoken young man and you know, just kind of his character traits, he thinks that will benefit him down the road. And I totally agree. I mean, I definitely feel that the way to benefit from NIL is for fans to really get to know you and to to know your personality. Yeah. And you know, that really starts now when you're really a sophomore if in high school, if you're a superstar, and, you know, for a lot of guys when they're upperclassmen. So I think that's going to be something that really, you know, maybe changes my industry a little bit moving forward.
Which now is the follow-up. The follow-up is this. How much better can you read somebody after you speak with them as opposed to reading a response?
Night and day. I mean, I tell our message board people all the time where I'll gladly be the third or fourth person to do a story on a player if it means I get an interview with them. And, you know, a lot of my colleagues, you know, don't get me wrong, we all prefer to do interviews, but a lot of people have just kind of switched to the whole I'll gladly take, you know, 3-sentence response on Twitter and, you know, do a couple of those and you can put out a story. And don't get me wrong, there's definitely times where that's the only option I have and I'm going to do that. But if you're telling me that we can do an interview Saturday night after a junior day or Sunday night, Monday after the junior day, and, you know, we can actually do an extensive interview, of course, over the phone, it's no question. I'll gladly wait the 36 hours just because you learn so much more just from tone of voice and, you know, how excited someone will get from, you know, when I ask about a coach or a particular part of the visit. There's so many different things that you can learn, especially if you're good at, I don't want to say reading body language because we were talking over the phone, but, you know, reading the tone of voice and how people, you know, just get that out there. So, yeah, it's night and day, man. I'll take a phone interview any chance I get.
You know, one thing I'm not sure of on my end is, for example, if an athlete is playing someplace and they've already, you know, and I can talk about them in, you know, a highlight package or something like that. But if they go in the portal, do I have to stop talking about them? So I don't know. So I'll do this in general terms. There's a lineman from Cornell a lot of people are going after. So where does that stand right now?
Yeah. Hunter Norzad, I believe Norzad is how I pronounce his last name. I apologize, Hunter, if I butchered that. But, of course, he was up this past weekend for an official visit. And Hunter's one of those guys who has made it clear that he doesn't really want to open up much about, you know, and do interviews, which is fine. And to be honest, a lot of the transfer portal guys, you know, they've been through this before. They've met with the media after games. They want nothing to do with it, which I completely understand, right? You're not obligated to. But from speaking with, of course, Penn State sources, they feel that they have definitely put their best foot forward here. I'll go back a little bit. You know, we know James Franklin did an in-home visit with Phil Troutwine with, you know, Hunter and his family last weekend in Atlanta. And then Phil Troutwine today was expected in Atlanta again to do an in-home visit while Hunter's home. He will go back to Cornell here soon and finish out classes. Now, circling back to the visit, we know Sean Clifford and Juice Scruggs played a big part in that visit. I believe Juice was his true host. Maybe Sean was. One of them was. You know, I know they spent a lot of time with those two, and, you know, Penn State sources felt like that came off well. As far as other schools, we know he took an official visit to Illinois about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Then he also did an official visit to Auburn. I'm being told Auburn's not really so much in the mix anymore, and really that this is going to come down to Penn State, Illinois, and Iowa. There was also supposed to be an official visit to Virginia Tech this week, but that's not happening. And we know Iowa will get that final visit over the upcoming weekend, and we'll see what happens from there. So he can't enroll at any school until next spring. He will be a graduate transfer. When you do three quarters of your time at Cornell, you know, obviously you're going to get that degree, right? So he's going to finish off this semester. And that means, and, you know, he'll roll wherever in the May, but that means that he doesn't have to decide really anytime soon. But would I be surprised if this drags into March and April? I would. But really, I mean, this could drag out a bit. So official visit to Iowa this upcoming weekend, and we'll see what happens there. Penn State, Iowa, Illinois, I think those are the three schools, and I think it's going to be Penn State or Iowa.
When you look at the portal, how deliberate is and careful has Penn State been? You know, they go into the portal, but how careful are they with the portal? You know, and, and instead of just like, hey, we'll just bring in 20 and hope five stick.
Yeah, yeah, they're extremely thorough with it, and they really are like that with 2022 recruits at the end too.
Yeah,
I think you know the portal wasn't around in the beginning of Franklin's tenure. Right. But in those first couple years, and even going back to Vanderbilt, they were much more aggressive at the end of these tenures, you know, kind of adding guys who maybe they were, you know, 80% on but not 100% there. And as Franklin has progressed here, that's kind of changed a lot. And really now, you know, if they find someone that they're 80% on but maybe not 100% there, they'll hold off. They really try to make sure that the whole staff is like, yeah, this is somebody we absolutely need to get. And I think you're really seeing that with the players that they target. For example, I mean, Hunter Norzad has been he's been one of their top guys for really, it feels like, 2 months now.
And right.
Of course, Mitchell Tinsley, he wasn't in the portal that long, but as soon as he entered, I mean, they went all out. And
yeah.
There's a handful of other guys who, you know, we believe they're after, but it's kind of hard to confirm, of course. But I feel like they're always going to take the, I don't want to say laid back approach. What's the best word? Conservative is probably not the best word. But,
deliberate.
They just want to make sure the whole staff's in on it.
They take a deliberate, careful, calculated approach to what they're doing with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How about that?
So I'll be curious. That's a good way to put it. And I mean, of course, one other thing I'll add is, you know, the big position everybody's talking about, of course, is offensive line. And this is probably the hardest position to recruit in the portal, right?
No doubt.
I mean, if you are an elite offensive tackle, you're not entering the portal. But even if you're a mid-range offensive tackle and you do go in, you're going to get elite offers because it's just such a coveted position. So this is a really hard position to recruit in the portal. But Penn State's going to do it really every year because they know that, you know, even if it's a mid-tier guy who's, you know, been okay but not great, it's easier to develop that player and get him on the field a lot quicker than taking a high school freshman.
All right, junior day. I know Penn State just, you know, they just signed a fabulous class on paper that we'll now get to see come to fruition before our eyes, starting with 9 of them in the spring. But they also felt like they laid tremendous groundwork on 23. So how are things progressing there?
Yeah. Well, of course, the class is coming along well. You know, I think they're the players they have committed. We have 3 4 stars and 3 3 stars, and really, I think 2 or 3 of those 3-star players. For example, I think Lamont Payne and Josh Miller really have the chance to move up, and I like Joey Schlaffer a lot too. So their 3-star guys are definitely guys that I could see moving up. And of course, when you have Alex Birchmeyer, Neil Avery, and Matthias Barnwell. 3 players who have been coveted by just about everyone. You can't ask for much more than that. When we go to junior day now, this past weekend was kind of a little bit of a, I don't want to say a smaller group. It wasn't as deep, I guess, when it comes to that elite talent. And from what I gathered, there was a little bit of reasons for that. One, they had Hunter Norzad on campus. That is an incredibly important visit. They had to put the majority of their focus there.
Mm-hmm.
But then, two, they were just kind of aiming for January 15th and January 29th to be those 2 huge events, where they get as much top-tier talent on campus as possible. And one thing I will say from talking to players is that they like it when they're on campus and other elite players are with them.
Yes.
So I think that's something that they really try to do. I mean, they want to make sure that their top players – are surrounded by top players when they come to events like this. So that first weekend was probably the best one so far between the 2. Hampson Oak and Lola's a top 50 offensive tackle prospect. We have him at 0-3 as the number 2 tackle in the country. There's guys like Derek LeBlanc and John Walker who are really good defensive tackle prospects out of Florida. Tamia Robinson's a player I've talked about a lot out of Pittsburgh. I think he's probably one of Penn State's top 3 linebacker targets. And really that list goes on and on. I mean, there were 19 scholarship players on campus that weekend. This past weekend was a little bit smaller. I had 5 4-star players on campus, and I think the scholarship count was around 10. And really it was a lot of players who I think, like out of those 10 guys, I think probably about A handful of them really could probably end up here, but a lot of guys that I think they want to camp down the road, guys who they like a lot, but they want to get a measurement on, they want to see a move, whatever it may have been. And then January 29th, of course, this upcoming weekend, is what I expect to be probably the best of the three when it comes to deep talent. Do you want me to get into that, Steve?
Sure, go ahead.
Yeah, so Nick Harbor is somebody everybody's talking about. Nick, did you see what Nick Harbor did this past weekend, Steve? The 2079 200 meter? Did you hear about that?
I did.
Yeah, incredible player, man. 6'5", 235-pound edge rusher. And I mean, he just put up one of the fastest 200-meter times in United States history with a 2079. I mean, for example, I think the next fastest time over the past year was like a 22 mid-range. So this is a player who realistically some people think could run in the Olympics someday. So just talking about a heck of a player, and he is expected to be here this weekend. His sister actually graduated from Penn State too. So there are some ties.
Yep.
But again, this is a player who's going to be coveted by just about every school in the country. He's going to run track in college too. So I'll be curious to see how, that sprinter aspect of this really impacts them. Because of course, if you're a top sprinter, I mean, a lot of those guys train in the South. So we'll see how that impacts them down the road. Tony Rojas is a top linebacker prospect. I'm expecting to be up here. Just like Tamir Robinson, I would say he's probably a top three prospect at that linebacker position, and somebody that they had on campus last year for a summer workout and just was absolutely excellent. So a lot of other guys here too. I can talk about James Hurd, a great defensive end from St. Joseph's Prep. Sadir Mitchell and DJ Samuels are two pretty good defensive linemen mm-hmm. from Bergen Catholic. Jameel Lyons is a freak of an athlete from Roman Catholic down in Philadelphia. And the list really is going to go on and on. So right now I have about a little over a dozen players confirmed, and it'll probably end up around 30 or so when it's all said and done. But I know they're aiming for this to be the big grand finale of the January contact period, and yep. It should be a pretty deep group.
One other note on the previous group, but Danai Dennis-Sutton ends up being a five-star, mm-hmm. giving Penn State 3 5-stars. Your thoughts?
Yeah. Man, he absolutely deserves it too.
Yes. Yep.
Of course, you know, I was with Rivals for the longest time, and you know, when I was there, he's been a five star with Rivals for a while, and you know, he, in my opinion, when I moved over to 1-3, that was something we talked about a lot. And of course, he broke his elbow to begin the year, and it slowed down his senior season. But he really finished strong in his final 7 games. I think it was around 7 sacks, 40 tackles, and looked great. And then he comes down to the All-American Bowl in San Antonio, which I attended 2 weeks ago. And, man, he was excellent. I mean, really one of the most consistent guys out there from one-on-ones all throughout the week. And, of course, he had a really good game as well with a handful of quarterback hurries and a really nice sack as well. So just everything off the field, we know Danai's an awesome player. I mean, he is – look at him physically. I mean, he's exactly everything you want. But everything about Danai off the field is what I really love about this kid. I mean, he is everything you could ask for in an individual, as a student, as a person. I mean, this is somebody who I think fans are really, really going to get to love. And I'll be honest, if you're out there and you know, you want to talk NIL and someone to promote your brand down the road, everyone's going to talk Drew Aller, Nick Singleton, and they deserve it very much. But Danai Dennis-Sutton is somebody who I think fans are really going to get to know and really enjoy. So, just happy for him to earn that 5th star. He just absolutely earned it, and I don't know how other way to put it. So it's going to be a great class with 3 5-star players. I think it's 12 or 13 4-star players, and should go down as really probably the second best class under Franklin. And really, it's kind of 1A, 1B in my opinion.
Yeah.
And one of the best classes in the top in the last 20, 30 years here.
Yeah, let me put it this way: fans should get to know him quickly. All right, we'll leave it at that. Always a pleasure, Ryan. Appreciate it very much.
Yep. Let's catch up soon. There'll be a big weekend here. And, you know, of course, signing day next week. I don't know what – maybe we're going to talk about somebody. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
We'll see how it plays out. That would be great. Thanks so much, Ryan.
Take care, Steve. Appreciate it.
Ryan Snyder on 3.com, one of the absolute best in the business. Don't forget the late signing period, National Letterman Intent Day, is coming up on Wednesday. So we'll have more on that later in the week. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com.
And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, Routes 11 and 13, Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com. On News Radio 1070 WKOK. Okay.